Don Garrison, please go ahead.
Sure. Thank you. First, I'd like to thank the Chamber of Commerce for hosting these forums. They're a great way for, of course, the business entities to meet constituent or meet candidates, but also for candidates to meet constituents, and I think that's a great opportunity. I was first elected to the Sitka School Board in 2007, so if I'm reelected, this will be my third term on the board. I was reelected in 2010, and this will be my third term. In my 6 years on the board, I've learned a great deal about education, and not just education, but about our community and about what it takes to be a good school board member. And I can tell you, it's not something that just happens overnight. It's something that is developed. It's something that takes effort and it takes some time. And I think it's important to understand that. I guess I still have time.
I apologize. We were sort of working out the timer since we didn't get that ahead.
No problem.
Go ahead.
So one of the things that that I see in our future is that these are extremely challenging times for public education. We're facing reduced funding. We're facing a greater emphasis on standardized tests, accountability, and transparency. We live in a very rapidly changing world, and our classrooms are changing rapidly. The challenge to make education as relevant as we possibly can for our students and a diverse range of students, and the challenge to define that educational success is great and difficult. The last 6 years have given me the opportunity to see what education looks like and what it means to our community, what it means to other communities across Alaska, and actually what it means to communities across the nation. And I'm pleased to say that fortunately what education looks like, I think, to Sitkans and what our education system is like, we're very fortunate here in Sitka compared to many other places throughout the state or throughout the country. Our community has continually supported our schools, and it shows. But that means we also stand to lose a lot. And if we don't work strategically to ensure that our kids get the best opportunity for the best education we can offer them, we can be facing some real problems. I've developed a passion for public education and being a good school board member, and have spent the time and effort it takes to try to continually improve, and I continue to do that, to bring new ideas to the table and to champion Sitka's values to both the outside and others outside our state and community. Sitka needs a mixture of youthful enthusiasm and experienced leaders on our board. Given my 6 years, 4 years as our board chair, and 5 years on the Association of Alaska School Boards Board of Directors, including a term as the state president of that association, I believe I bring to the table the necessary experience and leadership qualities that the board and the community will rely upon in the next 3 years as we face these many challenges of providing high-quality public education in Sitka.
My apologies again. We'll probably get this one worked out.
So I'll interrupt before we start the next. I forgot my colored sign, so I'll hold up a 30-second, and then I'll hold up a time.
Sounds good.
Okay. Sorry about that, guys.
Did you get to wrap? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Stephen, go ahead.
Hi. My name is Stephen Courtright, and I want to begin as Lon did. I will echo a lot of the same things he said, because he is saying the things that are important. But I do want to echo thanking the Chamber. This is a very important service you provide, in addition to all the important services you provide to the business community and the remainder of the Sitka community throughout the year. As a citizen myself, I do greatly appreciate these Chamber fora and the way that through them you're able to keep the news outlets of our town informed about what's going on, the candidates, their opinions, and that's a great way of communicating the issues to the rest of the population. I've learned a lot over the past few years just from reading up on or listening up to what's been done and discussed at these, so thank you very much. I think we have a great school board here. The school board here in Sitka is a committed, invested school board. These are people who want to see our schools succeed. They are working hard. They want to see the best for our children and for our community. especially for a small rural community like ours, we have far better than we should ever be able to expect. I've lived other places, I have seen other school boards in bigger cities, bigger communities with more apparent resources on the table, and they haven't been as good as what we have here. But what I see lacking on this school board is what I believe I bring to the table, and that is the classroom experience, the professional perspective. I'm not sitting here in front of you as a candidate because I think that any one member of the school board needs to go. I think they're all great people. I think they're all doing great work. I think our board does phenomenal work, but I do find it very unfortunate that the professional educator perspective is lacking. It's a perspective that can only be brought to the table by somebody who is a working teacher. I work over at Mount Edgecombe High School. I am in my 9th year as a teacher currently. I teach music, but throughout my career, I did spend time at a private school where they put me in places I shouldn't have been, and I've seen what it looks like to do English. I've seen what it looks like to do English as a second language and to do history. I love sitting in and studying so that I can better myself as a teacher. I love to go and study what's being done in math and science classrooms. I can tell you it looks different when you're there every day. The students do things differently, the teachers do things differently, and I truly believe that that's a perspective that cannot be gotten by just walking through every now and again. And if we're going to preserve our schools as the community resource that they are to further advance our community, I think that it's absolutely necessary to have the voice of a professional educator on the school board. Thank you.
Okay, with probably no more goofing around with the sounds and timing. So we're going to go off to the first question now. And by virtue of rotation, Stephen will actually, he was the last guy who spoke, but he will be the first one on this question so that the first rotates back between the two gentlemen. So here's the question for the two of you. First, Stephen, what do you see as the number one responsibility of a school board member? And for this, we have 2 minutes.
The number one responsibility of a school board member is the same as the number one responsibility of anybody involved in the schools, and that is to support the education of the whole child. We are here to make sure that our children grow up to be adults, to nurture them as they become people. Well, they are people already. To nurture them as they become mature people. And the ways to accomplish that are through ensuring that funding is where it needs to be, ensuring that we have the courses that are necessary with the proper curricula, as well as the offerings that are necessary. So maintaining programs that might look like they aren't essential, but because they serve an important role in the development of the child. It's our responsibility to make sure that they have the materials in the classroom that are needed and that will be used, to ensure that staff are recruited and retained, because that's a huge expense. If any of you have ever sat in on a hiring session for bringing people in from far away, it costs almost as much to hire somebody as it does to pay somebody for a year. So retaining good staff is essential, and then it's also absolutely important in supporting that whole child education to be sure that we are providing the activities and outlets for creativity and athleticism that are necessary to our children's development. And that doesn't necessarily mean all the ones they want, but it means all the ones that they need. And I'm probably a little bit ahead of time, but I think I've expended all the words I need to on the subject.
All right. I believe the number one responsibility of a school board member is to ensure that each child in our community has the opportunity to receive a high-quality public education. It doesn't matter where they come from, what economic status they're in, where they live, what they do. It's our responsibility as an elected state official to make sure that our local children have that opportunity to receive a high-quality education. School board members are responsible to provide that link between the community values that we have and the implementation of the educational opportunities that reflect those values. So we're the ones that help make that happen. We're the ones that are going to be listening to the constituency, listening to the community, and making the decisions in terms of how we can ensure that each and every child has that opportunity for a high-quality public education. So, to me, that's the number one responsibility of a school board member.
All right. We will move on to question number two. Here's the fantasy world. Well, probably not. If you could change one thing in the Sitka School District, what would it be? Okay, and Lon, you're going to go first on this.
Sure. Well, if I could change one thing in the Sitka School District, I think it would be the one thing that we're currently really focused on and working towards, and that's really closing the achievement gap with students from low economic status. We know that those students have more difficulty completing school, have more difficulty achieving success, and as a community and as a society, we end up spending more on those individuals if they don't graduate, if they don't get a good job. Most of the time, we end up spending more money because they end up in our state prisons and penitentiaries. So last year, the school board identified the idea of trying to close this achievement gap with students coming from low economic status. We took a look at data that showed us that this gap existed, and that gap was driven primarily by low economic status. We incorporated that into a strategic plan, we turned it into an action research model, and we are moving forward with trying to come up with ways to improve student achievement. And we're excited that part of that puzzle may be addressed by early childhood education, by improving the access to preschool and getting those kids ready to learn when they first come into the school system. So successfully educating all of our students to realize their potential gives our community, our state, and our nation the best possible chance for a prosperous future.
As I said in opening statements, we're probably going to be echoing each other a bit tonight. If I could change one thing, it would be increased access and increased priority given to early childhood education. Numerous studies have shown that that is where we have the greatest opportunity to make the greatest impact on the child. Children who come to school unable to read are years behind. Children who come to school without the tools necessary to socialize are years behind. And they frequently spend the remainder of their school career attempting to catch up and never managing it. And regardless of how you measure achievement, regardless of how you measure success, that student knows from day one that his or her peers are doing things that he or she cannot. I'm a music teacher, and in my world, it's common for there to be budget cuts and for people to say, hey, we're going to cut your program, we have to cut somewhere. And the story that I heard a few years back is one that really echoed for me. A school district that was looking a little bit tight went to their music teacher at the high school, their band director. He had this huge marching band, 200-some students. They put on amazing shows every Friday night, and it was the pride of the community. They came to him and they said, hey, we're having trouble. We're going to need to cut some. We're going to keep your program because it's great, but we're going to cut the elementary band. I just wanted to let you know. And he turned to him and he said, if you do that, my program is dead in 4 years. Kill my program, bring me back when you have a chance. But we have to invest at the younger ages if we want it to be successful later. I think that's a great illustration of the value of the younger years. If we get them while they're young, if we bring them to where they need to be, they'll be fine later on.
On with questions, and actually, would you, somebody bring, I'll walk across the front lawn and talk, because I know you got some questions over here, right? Okay, good. All right, question number three. With the continued decline in federal and state funding, would you continue spending or cut back, and if so, where? And Stephen, you get to get it first.
I'm terrible at making decisions. I say both. I think it's important to spend on our vitals. We need to identify what those vital things are, and we need to keep spending on them, and we need to aggressively spend on them. But we also need to be able to make some hard decisions. We shouldn't be forcing the children and their families to make these decisions when it comes to things like participating in activities, which are very expensive here. that is part of the development of the child. So I think it's essential that we manage in some way to help those students. That student who would be able to go to Art Fest and learn a ton by going and traveling and seeing that work, but can't afford the trip, needs to have the assistance of the school district in order to make that happen. But at the same time, we have to be able to say there are some things, some programs that might just not be doing what they need to do, or even if they are, they're not as essential. I think that what we need to do in order to make sure that we can continue our funding is we really need to push the assembly. And I say that with Mayor McConnell sitting right there. I think we need to push the assembly and let them know that school funding is a huge priority. And this can't come only from the school board. It has to come from everybody in the community. And whether there are children in your family who are in the schools or not, you are invested in the school board and in the school district. We need to decide, does it matter more to repave Edgecombe Drive when it gets a little bit pebbly? Or does it matter more to make sure that the heating and cooling is working right at Keat? We need to decide, are we going to, you know, bond Blatchley, or are we going to work on a sewer project? And it's a terrible decision to have to make in some of these cases, but I think we need to push the assembly to do that, and we also need to really sit on our legislators and get them to help us.
Spending or cutting? It's not really that easy a question. It's actually pretty darn complicated. And I guess I would say I would probably do both, because I've done both. I think you have to take a very deliberative look at where you're spending money. I think you need to look at where money's coming in, where the possibilities for revenue generation are, and decide, based on community input, what the priorities are going to be. And that's really difficult to do. It's difficult just to get the community to give you some input at times and let you know what those priorities may be until the very last moment. And we continually see that as we go through the budget process. I think we do need to prioritize our spending, and we need to be strategic about that as much as possible. And I think we need to take a longer view of where we're going and what the future looks like. I would agree that we need to advocate, and advocate effectively, for at least maintaining, if not increasing, education funding. And I can tell you it's been a very steep hill to climb, certainly with the state legislature the last several years. And at times it's been more challenging with the local assembly. Nonetheless, I think the community has supported education, and I think we need to continue to advocate for that support and let the public know how important that support is, how important local support is. Again, when it comes time to make the tough decisions, I think we have to look at, are we being innovative? Are we being collaborative? Are we using all the resources that we have to the best of our ability, without utilizing additional funds? Can we do more with less? And oftentimes I think we can. I think there's ways to make that happen. Sometimes there's not.
Thank you, Lon. Okay. And Lon, we'll start with you. What long-range plan would you want to implement for the school district?
Well, that's a great question, and it's one I've been thinking about for several years, beyond wanting to get the school district to review and renew its strategic plan, which we began last year. And the district strategic plan is really becoming, I think, a great living document. It's not this plan that takes up an entire binder and sits on a shelf. It's something that we've developed that I believe we can keep up to date, and has a greater chance of involving the community and determining some of these community values that I've talked about. But I think the one piece of a long-range plan that I would really like to see us embrace, and that's a five-year strategic budget for the district, a look out into the future to see what that future may hold. we know what our expenses are likely to be. I think we have a pretty decent ability to forecast what expenses are going to look like, maybe with the exception of healthcare and energy to some degree. I mean, healthcare can vary widely, and it's a huge issue, there's no doubt about it. But for most of our fixed costs, for most of our salary benefits, labor, those kinds of things, we can predict that. We're fortunate here in the Sitka School District that we've had relatively stable enrollment. We need to look at what happens when that enrollment declines. The big factor that's unknown is the revenue that's going to take to fill in that gap between where we want to go if we maintain what we have and the additional revenue that we need to find or what programs we would have to cut. So I think the ability to put together a five-year strategic budget that's updated annually and the opportunity to look back at where we were and where we've been and where we're going to go will enable us to communicate more effectively with the community about what the school district is doing, where we're going, and are we aligned with our strategic plan and our goals and objectives.
Thank you, Stephen.
It's challenging to plan for the future in education these days. It seems every couple of years there's a new top-down mandate coming from the federal government that causes us to scrap everything. But I think it's important for our local schools to focus on the things that local school districts can do very well. We need to reflect and involve the community. And to that end, I think we need to start working on creating site councils. Isn't it? I think we need to start creating advisory site councils at each of the schools that will help to build those plans at the local school level and then also at the district level. The plan for Baranoff Elementary School should not look like the plan for Sitka High School because they have completely different purposes within the development of the child. But I think those plans do have some common targets that they should share. We need to figure out how to fund some of our backbone things, our tech backbone. We know that technology is an increasingly important thing in the classroom. The role that it has is very debatable. If you go from one classroom to the next, you're going to see usage varying greatly. Walk into an English classroom, there might be an iPad on every desk or a laptop computer on every desk working on stuff. You go into a science lab and there might not be any visible technology the day that you walk in, but the next day they're going to go in and they're going to be building graphs. You go into a music classroom and there's going to be YouTube videos being projected on the screen for the kids so they can see things that they can't witness in their home community. But we can't predict what that's going to look like 5 years from now. We can predict that we're going to need to spend money on that and on transportation and on other backbone growth areas. And I think that's what our long-range plan should focus on, is the things that we know we're going to need to spend money on, even if we don't know what that's going to look like yet.
Okay, so the two candidates know that there's another question here before we go to questions from the audience, but we're going to pull a fast one on them. We're going to go to questions from the audience. We'll see, and then I think we'll have time to come back to that last question and then closing statements. So, the first question for you from the audience references the fact that there's to be a new superintendent and asks, now let's see who started first. Yes, Stephen, you'll go ahead because you were last here. What qualities are you looking for in Sitka's next superintendent of schools? And you have 2 minutes.
All right. Thank you. I've been asked that question recently. I believe that a superintendent has, above all else, the need to be the leader in a moral and ethical sense of the school district and needs to set the tone from the top of how things are done in terms of expenditures, in terms of hiring and firing, in terms of interpersonal relationships. The superintendent sets the tone. The superintendent should not be the person who is the educational leader, should not be the disciplinary leader, should not be the one doing the nitty-gritty of human resources issues. There are people whose job it is to do all of those things. But the superintendent is the one who sets the tone from the top down, is the public face of the entire district, and needs to be absolutely unimpeachable as such. it is important as well that that person have the ability to lock down sources of funding, be able to go and lobby hard for us at the state level, be able to go and potentially lobby hard for us at the federal level. But for what we're going to see here locally, the most important characteristic is that person has to be somebody that everybody immediately trusts to be doing the right work at the right time for the right reasons. And this is in no way, I want to step back and do a disclaimer, this is in no way to say that our current superintendent is not that. I'll let you form your own judgments. I'm not projecting anything here. I just think that when Steve's seat is filled, we need somebody who can step in and be that leader without a second's hesitation or question from the community.
Well, it's a great question because it's a question that we now face. I would say that the qualities of the superintendent, well, first let me talk about the role of the superintendent a little bit. The superintendent is the link between the elected officials, the board, and the rest of the district. They are the ones that are going to help implement the vision, the goals, and the objectives of the Board of Education for the rest of the district. Steve's right, they're going to be the leader for the district, but I think they are going to be the educational leader. They are going to be the ones setting the tone, there's no doubt about it. There are going to be others that are going to be working for them to help implement that leadership. But it is the superintendent who takes on that responsibility of conveying what the school board has come up with in policy, in vision, to the rest of the district and make sure that it's implemented that way. And it's going to change at times. And so the superintendent has a very difficult role. Things are continually changing. Each new election cycle, there may or may not be new board members, and the board may change a bit. And much like we've seen with the assembly, we have the same set of dynamics that can happen. But I think it is important for us to look for qualities where the superintendent is willing to work with the board, to look at what the board is doing, to provide counsel to the board and advice, but in the end, do what the board has asked them to do, and that's to implement the vision and the policy that the board and the community have set forward. So I think that's the quality. I want to find somebody who shares our vision, who shares the excitement for education and the concern that we have, and has the ability to advocate for education the way the board needs to do it. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Lon, you'll go first on this one. This one asks, do you feel that the Sitka School District is effective at preparing students to enter the workforce during high school and after graduation, and explain your yes or no?
Okay. I would say for most students, yes. We are effective in training in educating our students to enter the workforce, to go to college, or continue with additional career and technical education. But I would say there's still a considerable percentage of students that don't get there, that we are not getting across the finish line. Why is that the case? As I mentioned before, there's the relationship between low economic status and opportunity, which often kind of predetermines where those students may end up, unfortunately. How do we get those students across the end, you know, across that finish line is a great question. But I think in general, Sitka is quite successful at it. I would like to see us more successful. I mean, I'd love to have 100% graduation rate. There's only one school district in the state that comes close to that, and that's Unalaska. And they invest heavily in their educational system, both locally and with state funding. They invest heavily in their pre-kindergarten system. So, yeah, I think we can do better. Do we do all right? Well, we probably do pretty well. But I think there's more that we can do. I think there's a lot more that we can do in regard to career and technical education. And we're moving forward with some of that, with the advancements in that program, and some of the upgrades to the facility that we're going to be making there. So I'm pretty excited about that, the idea that we could do that. And I certainly see the opportunity for the Sitka School District to do a lot more with the University of Alaska Southeast, with the Sitka campus, the potential for dual enrollment, those kinds of things that really get us from K-12 to K-20.
It's frequently said that one of the most difficult factors in a student's education is the home life. And that's the one factor that schools have a hard time controlling. I teach at Mount Edgecombe High School. We kind of eliminate that from most of our students. And it's difficult for them to be away from home, but it does eliminate some of those factors. We can know they're having a good meal before they come down to classes. We can know they're getting a good night's sleep, or at least that their lights were off the night before. We can know that those students are leaving the dorms properly dressed for class. And we have intervention procedures in place for when those things aren't happening. That's really hard to do when you don't have a boarding school situation. And those are the kinds of things that I think are places where we can try to find some solutions. Building partnerships with parents, or if those can't be built, finding ways to build tutor relationships for students. Reaching out to the community for volunteers who will come into the schools and build those relationships with children one-on-one can help them invest better. When the state report card came out, Sitka has trouble with attendance and graduation rates. We know that. Those kinds of partnerships can help us with that. And attendance correlates directly to achievement in school. We know that. It's so common sense that it feels like something we don't even need to discuss, but it is something we need to discuss. And I know that the board has spent a lot of time discussing attendance and whether the policy needs revision. Partnering with nonprofits is a good way to help these children as well. There are currently nonprofits that make sure that students have food over the weekend, but there's more that we can do. But I think my big takeaway from this question is that preparing workers is not the point of schools. The point of schools is to prepare citizens and to prepare thinkers. If we teach them to think and we teach them to be able to ask the right questions, anybody can teach them how to do a job.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, slightly different topic now. This question starts with a thought or an opinion that the school district in their purchasing does not necessarily always look local first. And do you feel this is important? And what can you do to help support the businesses that support the schools? So Stephen is the second one last time. You're the first one this time.
Well, it's the businesses of this community step forward for all of the schools on a regular basis. All you have to do is walk into the Sitka High gym and look at the wall. It's covered with the businesses that have helped the school district in just supporting that one particular program. So, yes, I think it is very important that whenever possible, our local schools turn around and spend money locally. But that's a whenever possible. There are going to be times where, and this is not what the Chamber of Commerce wants to hear, I know I'm speaking to an unfriendly crowd on this one right now, but there are times when a purchase needs to be made and the local vendor isn't going to be able to have the gear necessary or the price necessary. Because of large purchasing rules, you have to put them out to bid. You have to seek multiple bids on large purchases. And if the local vendor can't meet the terms of the bid at the right price, the schools can't be compelled to purchase from that local vendor. And in fact, they are compelled to go elsewhere. I think it's important that the schools and the vendors work carefully hand in hand to make sure that that doesn't have to happen, though. If we communicate our needs well to the local businesses, I have yet to see a situation where the local business won't find a way to help. Speaking again from my experience at Mount Edgecombe, we have lots of accounts set up around town where all I have to do is walk into Aurora or Spinard and say, you know, this is the situation, I'm buying this for the school, and they just put it on the account because we've got their relationship already and everybody profits from it. We don't have to ship, and they know they're going to get the money. And I think that, I'm sure the Sitka School District has those arrangements already, and I think that building those further is a very good idea where possible.
Well, it's a good question, and it's not always an easy question to answer. and the reason is we should have, and I believe we do, a policy, not necessarily a policy, but a practice, where we look locally first, and what can we get locally, and does that serve the need of the district appropriately, and are we getting the value for the district that we need? As you well know, the community holds us accountable for doing the most that we can with every dollar that we have. And every dollar that we have that we can rotate through our own community serves us that much better. At the same time, we need to make sure that the value that we're getting is the value that we expect. And so I think, as Steve mentioned, sometimes local vendors simply aren't going to have the capacity to provide the product or the need or the, you know, whatever the entity is that the district is wanting to get. At the same time, there's an onus on the local businesses to ensure that are we doing the right thing? Are we doing everything that we can to provide the value so that the district can utilize those local sources? As a board member, I certainly want to know that as a district, we're making that effort first and foremost to seek those resources locally before we go outside. So,
Bob, thank you. Okay, you recall the audience and the speakers both, and we talked about declines in funding and spending plans and what have you. Here's a very specific question about spending. What is your position? We'll start with Juan on keeping Pacific High open in this time of budget concerns.
Sure. Well, I can say that I am a strong supporter of Pacific High School. And Pacific High School is a piece of the Sitka School District's success. And I know there are folks who have questioned whether or not we can afford to continue to operate Pacific High. Yes, it does cost a bit more per student to operate Pacific High. But what's that cost weighed against the cost of not having many of those or any of those students graduate? And I say that cost benefit is in favor of continuing to have Pacific High operate. In fact, I think Pacific High is going to be an even more dynamic entity within the Sitka School District than it has been. With a new building that we've got, with the opportunity to apply it to more students, I think it's going to be a more effective way to reach out to many of those students who might otherwise consider dropping out of the system. So every student that we can keep in and get across the finish line, to me, is a dollar well spent. So I'm a great proponent of Pacific High, and it would have to be a very grave day for me to really consider pulling the support for keeping Pacific High open.
Thank you, Juan.
I agree with absolutely every word that Juan just said. Pacific High is a huge resource to this community. The work that the students there do is work that you're not going to find in other classrooms. And while it is being tailored to students who are, in many cases, second chance or last chance students, if you want to think of them that way, and I don't think you should necessarily, but while it is being tailored to students who wouldn't succeed in another classroom, it's still work that's important to the community. Going out and interviewing elders and compiling their stories and their histories and their images is vitally important to our community. And that's a project I saw done at Pacific High 2 years ago. All that information is available on the internet. You can go up there, you can study people who have been movers and shakers in this community over the past 70 years. And those students went and sought that out. And that's not to say that kind of work can't be done at Sitka High or at Blatchley, because it can. But these are students who were previously not going to be able to do much due to whatever circumstances they had, and now they've created things of value and of worth. I also think that alternative schools as a whole are a great model for all of our schools. They throw away a lot of the classic, you know, expectations, and they focus just on what the student needs. And they're able to build everything from that starting point. as a teacher, what's more important than that? As administrators, I think all of our school administrators in the district could study what happens there and learn some things. And as just a final note, if you look at the star ratings that came out of the schools, Pacific High looks terrible if you look just at their score. But if you sort out all the star ratings across the state, every single alternative school in the state got the same score. And it's because the ratings were absolutely inappropriate to alternative schools. They're succeeding, and the measures don't show it.
Thank you. Now, I'm going to be pushing it time-wise, but anybody have an objection? Dump me?
No.
Okay. We're going to have one more question from the audience, and then go to, we'll do the closing statements. And here again we have an opinion, which is a good thing. Sitka does a great job with the arts. However, math and science options are lacking. So in this person's opinion, they're lacking. Then we will start first with Stephen. How do you propose to address this, or what's your response to this?
Well, should I start with the joke? The joking answer is send your kid to Edgecombe. But the serious answer is we have to serve all the students. We have to make sure that everybody is getting the rounded curriculum. And yes, Sitka High is phenomenal in art. Blatchley is phenomenal in art. Keat is phenomenal in art. We have a great arts program, and I think that that should not be weighed against our math and science. Pitting one part of the student's brain against another is not the way to succeed. What we do need to do, though, and I know that the district has been working on this, is to investigate where the curriculum is weak, investigate the problems in the science offerings, in the math offerings, and why they aren't strong. If it's declining student interest, there's got to be something to do to fix that. If it's because we don't have the partnerships necessary, let's form them. We have some phenomenal math and science offerings right across the bridge at UAS. And right over here at Sitka Sound Science Center. And if we partner with those folks, we can manage some amazing things. Whale Fest comes into town and puts people in every classroom. But we can do more. And instead of making that a once in a while thing that is an enrichment, maybe that becomes an embedded part of the curriculum that the students use to grow on a regular basis. And if we seek those partnerships out, if we use those resources, in a fishing town, how can we not have some amazing science going on? If we reach out to those resources and bring them into our classrooms, I think the math and science curriculum will be stronger, and all of the other curriculum as well. They'll write better essays in English, they'll be more invested in their community for social studies. And I think the whole curriculum will strengthen the more we reach out and build those partnerships.
Well, I think we actually do have a great math and science program in the Sitka School District, and I think it's underappreciated to some degree. And one reason our arts program is so well known is because we get our art students out there doing things in the community and outside the community, and they have the opportunity to perform and show what they've learned. With math and science, it's much more difficult to do that. And we haven't taken that next step to say, what are the opportunities for our students to show that they are doing well in math and science? I believe that there is work to be done in math and science curriculum, in what we have to offer. But I still think we offer a very strong curriculum in each one. Presently, the board and the district are working on looking at our math instruction, our math curriculum. We've just adopted the new state standards for math. And so we're going to be making some decisions in the near future on how the math program really is going to look within the Sitka School District. What are some of the opportunities for us to partner with the University of Alaska Southeast on math and make sure that movement of a student from the K-12 education and into the college education experience is better. I think that it's important for us to take advantage of opportunities here in this community when we can. The Sitka Sound Science Center is certainly one of those. I would like to see more engineering opportunities for math and science students. I'd like to see more emphasis on math and what can students do with math. I've had some members of the community that say, well, what about starting some sort of a math club, some extracurricular activities with math, ways that we can involve those students. So I think there's work to be done, but I think a good part of the program is relatively underappreciated. And we've produced some great students and scientists from this community.
Thank you a lot. Okay, it's always a compromise. We're going to be a little late. We missed a couple of questions. And we're going to take the final question and the closing statement together for the two candidates. We're going to combine the pose what you feel is the most important question not asked here and answer it, and the closing statement, and give each candidate 3 minutes rather than the 2 minutes for closing. So, Lon, this will be you first. First, we're going to ask you to pose what you feel is the most important question that wasn't asked and deal with it, and combine that with your closing statement, and you have 3 minutes.
Okay. Well, I think at least the most important question that I probably did not hear was how do I as a board member define student success, and maybe how as a community we would define student success. Does that mean that student success is simply graduating, or is that student success fewer dropouts making it to graduation? How many students are involved in extracurricular activities in the arts, or how many graduates actually go to college, stay in college, get the degree, or go to career and technical education and get certification and actually are employed? I think those are some great questions. Those are some pretty difficult questions. And I think it's one of the things that both as a board and a community we need to talk about. How do we actually measure that? We know graduation is one thing that we can measure, but you know, one of the questions earlier was a little bit about graduates and getting jobs. How can we track that? And it's not, you would think that might be really easy to do, but it's not as easy as one might think. To get that information back so that you have a feedback loop within your school district to understand what you may need to do better. We know that we have some difficulty with students moving from high school into college and having to take remedial courses. So there's a lot of things there, and that's the one question that I think I didn't hear that I don't have an answer for, but it's an answer that I'm looking for. So I'd like to find that at some point. In closing, I think the next 3 years are going to be extremely critical for the Sitka School District. And I think that's because of the following items. We're going to be selecting the next superintendent. We're going to be reviewing, adopting, and implementing the new state standards and assessments. We're going to be aligning our instruction to that new curriculum and those assessments. We're going to be, I hope, looking at a strategic budgeting during an age of reduced funding. And we're going to need to be advocating for public education, to preserve public education, and the need to fund public education. I think it's important at this juncture in time that we have an experienced, dedicated, passionate, and deliberative member of the board. I've dedicated a great deal of my time and effort to be the best board member and advocate for public education that I can be, and I continue to work on that every day. I've had an opportunity to lead both locally here in Sitka, statewide, and nationally, and have developed relationships that I believe can be beneficial for Sitka and the Sitka School District. Public education is so greatly challenged at this point in time on so many fronts that I believe my experience and leadership will serve Sitka well, and I hope that you would support me for a third term on the Sitka School Board. Thank you.
Stephen, your question that wasn't answered, and then your closing statement.
Certainly. I think the most important question that wasn't answered is, what is the purpose of a local school district? And it's the kind of question that's right there out in public, right in front of you. We have a local school district. Of course we do. Why wouldn't we? But why do we have it? And my answer to that question is because we need to grow strong, informed, thinking citizens. We need to grow the future of our community, and we use our local schools to do that. And it's great if we can take them and send them out into the rest of the world and have them be ambassadors for Sitka and show up everybody else how great we are here. But it's even more important to us that we build the future of our own community. And that 5, 10, 15 years from now, the people who are in our schools right now are equipped to make the decisions necessary for the future of our community. Our school district is at a crossroads. Thanks to legislatures at all levels, we have things coming our way that we didn't ask for. And frankly, no educators asked for. But they're coming. Our community is also at a crossroads. And that's something that you've been dealing with at these tables here, something that's been dealt with at the assembly tables. And it has to do with how we're going to fund our community going ahead, how we're going to find those jobs, how we're going to keep our energy rates where they need to be. Going ahead, all of us are going to rely on having the citizens who can make those informed decisions at the times when we can't or when we don't know the answers. I measure the success of a local school district by the health of its community. If you see a vibrant, healthy community where people grew up in that community and remained there, and they're open to new ideas and they're trying new things, I say the local schools are doing what they need to do for that community. And none of that can be measured on a test. It's unfortunate. The tests that we have coming and the new standards that we have coming are intended to guide. They're intended to guide what it takes to develop students and to develop the future workers and business leaders of the community and the country. But they won't measure the attributes that are necessary to the health and vibrancy of our community. I wish I could tell you that if you voted for me, I would change all that, that I would make the tests relevant. But I can't. What I can tell you, though, is that as somebody who has spent the past, how many years is it now? The past 13 years of his life preparing for and then working in schools, I can tell you that I can advocate for what works in the classroom and what the students and the teachers need in order to prepare that future for our community. Thank you.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you may be able to buttonhole the candidates for additional questions afterwards, but right now, if you would give them a great big hand for being available to us.